Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn how to communicate like the world's greatest leaders. Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast. Excited for our guest today. Scott Vinson is a gifted marketer and has a great vision of where marketing is going to be in the future. And it's important to note that as we talk about how to communicate effectively, that's all that marketing is communicating your message effectively. Scott, it's great to be with you.
It's great to be with you, Chad. Happy to be here.
You know, Scott, I'm pretty passionate about this because years ago, I was at an event where I had the opportunity to listen to this million-dollar speaker. And he was making over $1 million a year just speaking. And so I was quite intrigued by, okay, how gifted of a speaker is this going to be? And then I sat there and listened to him. And as he was giving his presentation, frankly, I wasn't very impressed. And I thought, wait, this individual gets paid $1 million to come speak? And then he said something towards the end of the presentation. And I'd love to get your take on that and on this. And he said, I will outmarket you. And so it wasn't his gifted speaking ability that was bringing him in $1 million a year, but it was his ability to market. And Scott, you probably see that every day. The best products don't always win. The best marketing does, right?
Yeah.
So Scott, let me ask you this as we get started here. First of all, let me ask you, what got you passionate about marketing? What stirred within you that you're like, okay, marketing is critically important because you have a tremendous passion for it. Yeah. And what I love about it is you're studying it all the time. I love hearing your insights. So what got that going for you initially?
Yeah, no, it started out when I was a kid, probably when I was like 11 or 12. And it goes back actually to, I loved Minecraft. I don't play it as much anymore, but that is just a solid game. And you're probably like, what the heck? Like, how does Minecraft, how do you make that connect? What does that have to do with marketing?
Right.
But yeah, me and my cousin, we made a Minecraft server, and I loved creating a community. So I had to figure out the technical side of like, okay, how do you run, you know, a Minecraft server? So there was like kind of like the technical aspect of that. But then two, it was okay, how do we get people to actually join this server? So I think that forced me to get really creative with my thinking of, you know, going online and posting on different forums or creating different YouTube videos to, you know, try and bring people in and just creating just something great for these people. And so I think it kind of stems from that.
Wow, that's amazing. Because if you think about it for a moment, and I hope everyone heard what he said, it came back to creating a community. And the greatest marketing out there creates a community. In fact, if you look at the great companies, the big companies, just because, you know, most people are aware of them, you look at Nike or you look at even Gatorade or Disney, Apple, they've created communities of people that have wanted to enroll because of their marketing. And that's a phenomenal point to make, Scott. So you had people wanting to join your community. So regardless of what product or service you're involved with, that's a great way to approach it. How am I going to get people into the community for the people I serve?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Scott, with Minecraft, you know, that's one thing, but now you're doing it professionally for other companies, getting these companies, getting people to want to join their community. Now, obviously, the world of marketing has changed since you were 11 years old. I mean, it's crazy. I swear the world of marketing has changed in the last 30 seconds. And so it's constantly evolving. And what do you see the future of marketing? How do you see it impacted, or what things will impact it moving forward?
Yeah, no, I think I think there's a lot of change going on with marketing. Like you mentioned, literally every single day there's something new. Obviously, as we all know, AI is one of the biggest things, but specifically for companies, they're getting outside of the box and they're experimenting in really tremendous ways. Essentially, there's businesses like True Classic and other companies
the clothing company.
Yeah, yeah. Like that company. They're doing, they're taking very common day things that we see in our lives. They're doing things like, you know, like when you receive an airdrop on your iPhone.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So they're making like things like that into ads where it's like for the photo, it's like a photo of a guy wearing, you know, the classic t-shirt with different messaging.
And you think about the t-shirt, and I appreciate you bringing up this example because t-shirts, I mean, that there's a lot of them out there. So True Classic trying to separate themselves from everybody else. And that's what good marketing does, but continue on.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll see, you know, the different things like the airdrop with the little message, like looking, you know, for the secret to confidence, find out now. And then it's like decline, accept, or things like the notes. You'll see just straight up ads where it's like the iPhone notes and it will have like a message there. And so they're using common, like everyday things that we see and kind of relating it back to their targeted audience.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. They're doing things to help people join their community. So one of the things, if, you know, if you buy a True Classic t-shirt, then you'll be more confident, Scott. You'll have greater confidence in who you are.
Yeah. So they're saying that, but it's the way that they're presenting that. They know their audience is most likely on their phones a lot. And so by using things like, you know, ad creative that looks like, you know, this company is airdropping you something, or, you know, this company is also, you know, using their notes, or they'll post different ads that are, you know, that look like a social media post, like a tweet, or they'll grab different comments from people commenting and they'll put that as an ad. Or they'll use things like post-it notes, things that resonate with people. They'll have, you know, just like a photo, have just, you know, handwritten post-it notes. Some companies will even use memes. And so I think overall, we're just seeing these companies kind of go outside of the box with their marketing.
Sure.
So those are just like some specific ways that I've recently been noticing.
Well, and you bring up two big points, Scott. You say, one, they need to know how to say it, you know, so they give you that confidence, but then know where to say it. Mm-hmm. And you're saying it in the airdrop or the notes where people are most likely going to be able to see it. And by the way, from a marketing standpoint, getting in front of people and having your message heard, it's getting increasingly tricky. You know, I'm obviously older than you, Scott, but back in the day, you could put on a television commercial, but now everyone's streaming and everyone's skipping ads and so forth. So you have to be very careful and very strategic in your approach. Now, along these same lines, Scott, let me ask you this question. What are some of the big mistakes you see companies doing?
Yeah.
Maybe perhaps some of the more common mistakes.
I think on the flip, I think we are seeing companies, I think a lot of companies do or can put themselves inside of like this box of like, this is our brand, this is who we are, and we can't step outside of that. And I think there's some danger with that, not being sure, willing to experiment. Obviously, you know, there's some companies where, you know, the brand is everything and you can't, you know, you got to keep that brand voice consistent. But I think that companies that don't have an audience defined at all, the companies that try to target everyone end up not really targeting anyone at the same time, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And that's huge. If you think about that for a second, so many companies, so many people want to be the Amazon or the Facebook, right? They're like, oh, I want to be like Amazon. Amazon is all things to all people, right? I want to be like Facebook. Facebook's all things to all people. But the reality is, Scott, one of the things, and I so appreciate you bringing this up, because one of the realities is that Facebook started very niched, right?
Mm-hmm.
They started just at Harvard. Amazon just started by selling books. That's it. They were just selling books. And then they went and expanded beyond that. And so I appreciate you bringing that up, because one of the big marketing mistakes that I see as well is trying to be all things to all people, like you just said, Scott. And so if we really look back and realize that Amazon didn't start as Amazon, Facebook didn't start as Facebook, you know, it's important to note. In fact, people like simplicity, you know. I know you're on the East Coast, Scott. I'm you know, more in the Rocky Mountain range, and so I'm in Idaho. So I drive down to Salt Lake City, and I see In-N-Out Burger, right? And I know you're familiar with In-N-Out Burger,
yeah.
But In-N-Out Burger, how many items do they have, Scott?
Oof, you got your burger, your fries. The milkshakes. I wish we had In-N-Out out here.
Yeah, that's it though, Scott. That's it. That's all. It's very simple, right? And then I often joke that if Cheesecake Factory would minimize their menu, they would actually increase their profits. Yeah. Because you go to Cheesecake Factory and they bring out an encyclopedia for you to look through to find your order there. And so trying to be all things to all people doesn't work. You know, In-N-Out Burger saying, look, we're going to only do this, you know. And I know recently, if we stay in that food theme, recently, Cane's Chicken is taken off quite a bit over the last several years. And they serve chicken strips and French fries, right? And they make it very simple and been very successful with that. And so along those lines, Scott, what's another common mistake you see? So that I love you bringing up that one, trying to be all things to all people, but what else do you see?
Yeah.
People
kind of like what we talked about. So I'd say if there were five common mistakes that companies would make, I think being vague, and that ties in with what we had just talked about earlier with trying to hit a message that gets everyone. Overcomplicating it. That could be like the Cheesecake Factory menu almost, where there's just so much things on the menu.
Okay. So wait, let's stop just real quick. Let me stop you there for a second. Okay.
Yeah.
So Scott, so you said number one, trying to be all things to all people.
Yeah.
And then number two, they're being vague.
Or they're overcomplicating it is number two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Overcomplicating it. Number two. Unpack that a little bit further. So they overcomplicate it in our messaging. What are we doing?
Pretty much like if you think of a Rubik's Cube, that's just literally all colors just mixed everywhere. I think some brands can, their messaging can sometimes be like that. And so they're pretty much asking their customers to solve this Rubik's Cube. It's like a puzzle. But I think that if they were to just simplify it, then it would just be so much easier. Instead of like an 8x8 Rubik's Cube, you know, maybe like a 2x2 Rubik's Cube that's already solved or only needs to be like one little switch in essence.
Right. Make it simple for them. Okay, that's number two. Mm-hmm. They overcomplicate things. In fact, we talk about it all the time. TK and I do. People overcomplicate their communications. They're saying too much. They're making people think too much. So overcomplicating it, that's big. Okay, what else would you say?
Yeah, another mistake I think that a lot of companies make is they focus so much on the features rather than the outcomes of their product. Mm-hmm. Where
that's huge.
That is big. Yeah. I feel like, you know, that's something that is so easy to get caught up with. of, okay, right, you know, here's all these super shiny features. But at the end of the day, the customers really just care about, you know, the outcome. Like, what are they going to get from it, or how are they going to benefit from this?
Right, right. I have a business partner that says all the time, the benefit of the benefit. What is the benefit of the benefit, right? Mm-hmm. And so you talk about the benefit of this feature. Well, what's the benefit of that?
Yep.
And so I love how you say, focus on the outcome of what, you know, you get. So that's awesome. Love that. So then number one, try to be too many, all things to all people. Number two, overcomplicate it. And three, the big mistake, they focus on the features rather than the outcomes. Mm-hmm. So good, Scott. So good. Okay. What else?
A common mistake I see is companies not asking their customers to do anything. There's no call to action. It's like, what's the point of the ad if, you know, you're just throwing this out here, but you don't ask them to do anything? If you don't ask them to do anything, they're probably going to do nothing.
I love that. I love Donald Miller over at StoryBrand and marketing. And he always says, Chad, if you put a buy now option on your website, you'd increase revenue, right? Just asking people to take action, having some form of a call to action. Excellent. Okay. Anything else you're seeing, Scott, that people can really fix?
Those are the main points, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Did you have anything to add on to that?
Well, I think to myself, kind of an overarching principle is simply the fact that, and I share this quote all the time by Bertrand Russell years and years ago, where he said, people would rather die than think. Yeah. And in every one of those things you just shared, you're really trying to remove thinking from the equation, right? People don't want to think. They want to make it very simple for them. That's why in politics, so often the incumbent gets reelected, right? Because people don't want to have to think about, okay, wait, is this the new, I don't want to think, right? And so make it very, very simple for them. So the best marketing, the best messaging, in my opinion, Scott, is the messaging that doesn't cause people to think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can agree with you more on that.
It just makes it very simple for them to engage with you, very simple for them to communicate with you. And so as you go back to the story you shared at the beginning, when you started in the Minecraft trying to invite people to join your community, you wanted to make it simple for them to engage in your community. And one thing I just want to, as we're wrapping up, I just want to say this, Scott, the one thing that everyone needs to remember is this. Everything we do is marketing. Everything we do is marketing. And I have, you know, those of you, many of you know that my wife and I, we have 9 kids, and my kids will say things like, oh, that teacher hates me, right? The teacher doesn't hate you. The teacher hates your marketing, right? You show up to class late. You didn't do your assignment, right? And so the message that you were sending, the marketing that you were sending, was not the marketing that the teacher wants. So everything we're doing, we're marketing. Now, Scott, I do want to ask one last question though to you, and that is this. We mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that marketing is changing and the landscape of it is shifting constantly. How do you stay ahead of the curve? Because I know you do.
I think there's a lot of ways that this question could be answered. But I think as a marketer, it's so important to do kind of that critical and deep thinking so that your customers don't need to. So that you can, like you said, make it so easy for them to just choose your company. But as a marketer, that requires, you know, staying up to date with the trends, doing your research and doing testing.
I love that. So you're out there testing, learning, and staying ahead of the trends so that you then can, the people that you serve, then don't have to think about it because they know that you're ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes I think sometimes you just have to wing it with different things, as crazy or as silly as that might sound. Sometimes you just don't know. And so sometimes it's just about trying new things and figuring out, you know, if it succeeds or if it flops.
Wow. That's good. And you finished with that, Scott. That is so good. Be willing to take risks, because the more willing you are to take risks, the more successful you're going to be, right? Someone somewhere had to say, let's use cows to sell chicken, right? Someone somewhere had to say, and I'm sure there were people in that meeting, Scott, who said, wait, what? We're not selling cows. We're selling chicken. I know, but we're going to use cows to sell chicken. And arguably one of the most successful fast food marketing campaigns, Chick-fil-A, using cows saying, eat more chicken. So I love that you share that, Scott. I appreciate your insights here. Take more risks. I think that's something that all of us could internalize and be better at, being willing to take more risks so that you can yield the rewards that you truly want. Understanding the traps and the pitfalls that people fall into that Scott just outlined for us. Scott, thank you for being with us. Such valuable, valuable insights. I love that you stay ahead of what's happening in marketing, and this won't be the last time we hear from you. Have an awesome day, Scott, and thanks for being here.
Thanks, Chad.